Great crowd. Wonderful to see you this morning. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will
rejoice.
Well, some of you is and some of you ain't. We need to try that again. We will
rejoice
and be glad in it. Now make sure you tell your face. You say, I'm happy. Well, tell your face. It hadn't heard yet, okay? Notify yourself and give God glory and get excited about all that God's doing. We just finished a wonderful weekend up at Elijah's Harbor, and some of the people that are sitting in this room were there for our first LEAD Ministries, Leaders Evangelizing and Discipling, and we're excited about all that God has done. And then your pastor was kind enough to ask me to come and afflict you today, so I will. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. We'll be here this morning and tonight, and look forward to the opportunities we have to serve Jesus. Take your Bible this morning, please, and go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians and chapter number 5. Always great to be at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I have forgotten the first meeting. I don't even remember when we started here, but it was probably about 122 years ago. And so I always get excited when we have a chance to come back and share the Word of God. And I hope we can be a help and a blessing to you. Three shots I have today: Sunday school, morning service, evening service. And I hope that this will be a time that the Word of God will impact your life and we can all take a spiritual step. Nobody's arrived yet. Everybody's en route. Well, if you've arrived spiritually, you're just dead and in heaven and don't know it yet, because all the rest of us are a work in progress. Can I get an amen this morning? And so God's going to teach us something else in order to transform us and make us more like Jesus. Would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and following. And be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Can you believe that is all one sentence? How many of you in this room ever remember having to diagram a sentence in high school? Would you raise your hand? How'd you like to diagram that one? It'd take you about a month, I suspect. When I was in high school, they would come and say, you need to learn to diagram. It'll help you for the rest of your life. You'll use it all your life. That's a lie. You'll never use it again. Since the day I got out of high school, I've never diagrammed a sentence. But I would tell you this, I'm going to take part of this sentence. And we're going to talk about Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all say 5:20 together. Here we go. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Title of the message is very simple, an attitude of gratitude. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the book. It will not change, but it can change us. Would you help us to surrender our will to your will to become more like Jesus Christ? And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Evangelist R.A. Torrey was a powerful preacher of the Word of God. He traveled and crisscrossed the nation and the world, and he used an illustration many times about aggressive evangelism. The true illustration comes out of history, because on Lake Michigan there was a ship, that was heading down. Everybody on board was in jeopardy of losing their life. Meanwhile, on shore, there were a group of college students that saw the boat heading down. They formed a rescue mission. Interesting, if you'll study, you'll find there was one man whose name was Edward Spencer, who single-handedly rescued 17 people. Wow. I'm thinking to myself, how in the world does anybody do that? They say just before he passed out on shore, he looked up at his buddy and said, did I do my best? Do you think I did my best? Torrey would tell that story repeatedly. He started into it one night in Los Angeles, California, and a man piped up and said, Mr. Torrey, Mr. Spencer is in the house tonight. Torrey said, Spencer, if you're here, would you please stand? An elderly man who never got over the frigid waters of Lake Michigan and whose body suffered every day since that rescue slowly stood. People began to applaud. He said, Spencer, if you would you come to the platform, tell in first person the night you rescued 17 people. He did, and when he was finished, obviously the people were moved, and Torrey said to Spencer, is there anything about that night, that night when you single-handedly rescued 17 people, is there anything that you remember more than anything else? He said, absolutely. He said, Mr. Spencer, what is it? He said, of the 17 people I rescued, nobody ever said thanks. That's too typical of the United States of America. Romans 1:21, neither were thankful. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient, unthankful, unholy. Did you ever notice in the 19 heinous sins that are mentioned in there, unthankful is listed with all the rest of the wicked ones? We call what we should have an attitude of gratitude. But what's going on nationwide is ingratitude. Many of you are in service to people, and if you ever get a holy grunt, it's a big deal these days because very few people have that attitude. What is gratitude? It is the acknowledgement both to God and to others, a cheerful acknowledgement to God and to others of how they blessed and benefited my life. Let me give it to you again. A cheerful acknowledgement to God and others of how they blessed and benefited my life. If you were to study your Bible, you'll find that the word gratitude is never in the Bible. But the word thanks, thanksgiving, and its derivatives are in 127 verses, 131 times. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, when the fire of gratitude dies on the altar of man's heart, that man is nigh well useless. Do you have this morning an attitude of gratitude? Let's see what Paul said about it. When you look in verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you take notes, and some of you do, notice number one, the communication of gratitude. It is not just thinking, but it is talking. If you were to study the Anglo-Saxon language, you would find that the word think and thank have the same derivatives. Let me give you something. Thoughtful people are thankful people. Let's say it together. Thoughtful people are thankful people. If you're not thinking right, you won't be thanking right, because if it's here, it'll come out here. Hebrews 13:15, by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. You say, well, I was gratitude in my heart. No. It's got to come out your mouth. Psalm 15, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows. Your wife cooks breakfast. You say, well, you know, she knows I'm thankful. No, you need to express to her gratitude for all that she does and how she helps take care of the kids. You need to teach your children how to be thankful. I've never met a kid in my life that came down to birth canal and said, glory, hallelujah, amen, thank you very much. They all have to be taught that, because they learn how to say give me, but they haven't learned how to say thank you. Psalm 92 and verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 105, 106, 107, first verse, everyone says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You know, when you have an attitude of gratitude, you're saying a couple of things. One, you're saying I'm controlled by the Spirit. In context, you start in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So the word filled means be under the control of the Spirit. Let me give you another phrase. You can remember this. God-filled people are grateful people. Let's say it. God-filled people are grateful people. You can usually tell when a person's walking with the Lord by their attitude, if they have an attitude of gratitude. In fact, I'm going to help you do what I help the teenagers do. I'll say attitude of, you say gratitude. Let's practice. You need an attitude of?
Gratitude.
Oh, come on, folks. I know it's Sunday morning. Some of you are still in a semi-coma. But let's try that again. Ready? You need an attitude of? Much better. So there is, it shows that you're actually in that area of your life controlled by the Spirit. Some of you have read and maybe heard of Johnny Erickson Tata. Tragic diving accident. She's a quadriplegic, paralyzed from here down. She had to learn how to do everything over, including write. If you know anything about her, they taught her how to put a pencil or pen in her teeth and write with her head. It's an amazing thing, and her writing excels most people's handwriting. The first thing she ever wrote was this: gratitude is not as much feeling thankful as obedience. You see, we need to have an attitude of gratitude because it's commanded by God, and it's supposed to come out of our mouth. It shows we're controlled by the Spirit. But it also tells that we're contented with the Savior. You know, grumbling people are telling you, I'm very discontent. Paul wrote from a jail cell in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 5 verses later, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So let's say it together. We need an attitude of?
Gratitude.
Number one, the communication. Number two, I want you to see the continuation. The Bible says, giving thanks always. Wow. You say, preacher, that's impossible. On your own, it's impossible. We weren't born grateful people. With the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not only possible, but it happens like breathing air. Somebody came to me one time and said, okay, what does always mean in the Bible? I said, it's real simple. Always, always means always. That's what always, always means. You say, say that again. Always, always means always. That's what always, always means. Now you help me. Ready? Always, always means always. That's what always, always means. Psalm 34 and verse 1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, I thank God for you always. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. You say, preacher, you know what kind of week I had. Yeah, but let me tell you why you had the week, because God gave you life to go through it. Somebody say amen. Alexander White was a famous Scottish preacher. He was known for a big upbeat. He was always praising God for something. Well, it had rained all Saturday night. We say down in the south where you and I are from, on Sunday it was raining cats and dogs, and I mean it was monsoon. The people gathered in the congregation, they were kind of looking at each other thinking, and what will Pastor White thank God for this morning? So White got up and he said, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that every day is not like today, in Jesus' name. So there's always something to give thanks to God for. It's a perpetual thing. There's the communication, there's the continuation, and here's the last point. Look down at verse 20, he says, give me thanks always for all things unto God. So here's how I want to bring the final moments that I have with you this morning. I want to ask you a question. What are you thankful for? What are some things that you are really genuinely thankful for? I'm going to give you some. I think you'll identify with it. One of the first things I have an attitude of gratitude about is my freedom. If you're glad you live in the United States of America, would you say amen? Amen. If you're not, we'll put you in a one-way plane anywhere. And you can stay there, God bless you, because I'm a little weary. I realize we got problems in this country, but I've traveled the world. And when you come back and get out in the United States, you'll even be glad for the president we've got over here. At least he doesn't have a gun to your head. I mean, he's robbing us in taxes, but at least he doesn't have a gun to your head. And you go and travel and come back to the United States, you'll go, wow, do we have it knocked over here. Let me tell you where our freedoms came from. They did not come from weapons of mass destruction. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. We were given a wake-up call, 9/11. We are not invincible. We have freedom in the United States of America because the United States of America was founded on the word of the living God, and God in many ways has blessed, and amazingly enough, with all the mess that's going on, there is still a measure of blessing in these United States. Peter Jenkins walked across the United States and he said, America is America because of freedom. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but 80% of the world cannot do what you're doing right now. They cannot assemble, they cannot take a Bible, they cannot have people preach to them. Here's an amazing thing. You live in Tennessee, you can come anytime. And the problem is this. There are people in this old world who have to sneak somewhere to hear the word of God today. They had to come in one at a time. They didn't jump in a car and ride. Many of them walked. And they're praying that as they worship and hear the Bible and the gospel, they won't be arrested and thrown in prison for the rest of their life. We have grand, wonderful opportunities, and we have people that show up in Sunday school, leave as soon as it's over, because you did church. Quit doing church and enjoy what God has given us. You ought to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You ought to come to Bible conferences and evangelistic meetings and missions conferences, and you ought to march in and sit down and sit there and say, hallelujah, I've got the freedom to do this. My wife and I have traveled a good portion of the world. We were in Germany, and we went to a concentration camp known as Dachau. My dad was in the latter part of World War II. He was stationed in Germany. Now, if you know anything about that concentration camp, some of it is still there. Some of it has been rebuilt. There's a museum, and when you go in, one of the first things you'll do is see a series of pictures in multitudes of rooms. My wife got physically ill, and she said, honey, I can't stay here. I said, well, you meet me at the end. I went through and looked at every picture. I'm looking at men pulling a plow like an animal. I'm seeing open ditches where they shoot them with machine guns. I'm seeing human beings that don't look like human beings. They've got skeletons with a little skin on top of them. I went through and thanked God for freedom. I came to the last room and we went outside. And it was March. The wind was blowing. It was bitter cold. She said, honey, it's freezing out here. I said, imagine standing in prison issue at attention until many of them just dropped dead. We went to a barracks which was rebuilt. The beds were so close to each other, I don't know how anybody got in them. Flea infested, rat infested. Wow. You know that in many of the concentration camps, they had gas chambers. Now, that many of them were made to look like showers. But when they took the people to gas chambers, they would zip their hair off and pack pillows for the Third Reich with their hair. Gouge the gold out, melt it down, put it in the coffers. They would push them in like animals, seal off the door, and while they waited for water to come, in moments, gas was coming. Seconds later, they were in eternity. I went out and got out on all fours, and I looked into one of the ovens that was used where they just shoved the bodies in and incinerated them, and the ashes went through outer space. And I thought to myself, there's almost nobody in the United States that even understands this. I was getting ready to do a graduation in the state of South Carolina in a Christian school. We had the Pledge of Allegiance. Then we sang the Star Spangled Banner. There were four adults sitting to my left, four of them, adults, not teenagers, who refused to pledge allegiance, who refused to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And I got to tell you, I was not a happy camper. The old boy said, I was mad enough to mug an Avon lady. You know what I mean? I had to ask God's forgiveness because I was going to take four adults out back and rearrange their face, man. I thought, if you don't like this place, get out. I'm thankful for my freedoms. How about you? Number two, I'm not only thankful for my freedom, I'm thankful for my faculties. What's that? It's the power to do. Humor me just a minute. Everybody wave at me. I'm very insecure. I want to make sure you love me, okay? You know who gave you the power to do that? Everybody tell me. That's exactly right. You see me because of God. You hear me because of God. You think because of God. Everything we have and ever hope to be is a gift to us from Almighty God. Proverbs 20 verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. They're doctors and people who can make an eye, but it doesn't see. They can make an ear and it hangs on the side. Looks pretty nice, but it doesn't hear. Only God does that. The psalmist said, I'll praise thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are the works of thy hands, and that my soul knoweth right well. I want some of you to be encouraged because there are a lot of teenagers and adults who complain.
I got to wear these glasses, man, like Coke bottles.
Thank God you can see, bud. You say, man, I'm 35 years old. I still got braces. They're like barbed wire in my mouth. Thank God your teeth are in your mouth, not out of your mouth. I mean to tell you that we need to get excited about what we have. Now, let me tell you about your human body. Everybody take a hand and make a fist out of it and look at it for just a minute. That is just about the size of your heart. If you're a man, your heart weighs a little bit more than a woman's heart weighs. Somebody said, why does a man's heart weigh a little bit more than a woman's heart? It's very easy. It takes more love for a man to love a woman than a woman to love a man. That's why. Amen. And so your heart is a little bit bigger than that. It pumps and rests 100,000 times a day, 2.5 billion times in a lifetime, and you're not even thinking about it. You didn't get up this morning and say, baby, don't quit, we're both in trouble. You did not do that. You got out of bed and combed your hair and washed your face. You did all those kinds. You don't even think about that. It pumps 10 pints of blood through 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries every single 60 seconds. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're a mechanical marvel. You have, underneath this hair, or this bald dome, whichever you want to call it, you have a brain that can receive, this is an amazing thing, 10 new thoughts of information every second of life. There are people who never get 10 thoughts in their life, but you can get 10 new thoughts every second of your life. You have touch receptors, 1,300 touch receptors per square inch. You say, what's the big deal? You put your finger on something that's hot, you don't leave it there and become a crispy critter. That's the big deal. It actually feels. You have taste buds. Suddenly you're driving down and you have a Mac attack. And so your car automatically turns in. You want a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke. You put those fries in your mouth. Your brain says, grease, potatoes, salt. And if you're a man, it says, heart attack. If you're a woman, it says, hip attack. But if you're a man... So you taste that. It doesn't just lay there in your mouth. All of this is in 20 square feet of a waterproof covering. It's called skin. You say, what do you mean waterproof? Did you notice the last time you showered, you did not drown? Did you notice that? And God made all this. I was in the state of Alabama. The pastor took me to a specialized hospital to meet a 17-year-old boy named Joey, J-O-E-Y. He said, I'm going to take you there and I'm going to tell you what you're going to see, because if I don't tell you what you're going to see, you won't stay. He said, Joey has never walked, never talked. Doctors don't even know why he's alive. When he was a little boy, he was laying on his stomach in a rundown house, and his drunken daddy came in and stepped on his vertebra and snapped it. Didn't even know what he was doing. I walked in and I was sure glad he warned me of what I was going to see, because I was fighting back tears. If I took two of my fingers and put them together, that's the biggest part of his arm anywhere. If I took three of my fingers and put them together, that's the biggest part of his leg. Pastor gently went over, put his hand on his little shoulder and said to him, Joey, this is Pastor. I've come to pray for you. Remember, Joey's never formed a sentence, but he tried. I had turned my head. I was weeping like a kid. I thought to myself, I'd like to bring every young man that ever got cut off a ball team and let him just stand down here and look at Joey. Joey never walked out to try out. He never could dial a number and say to a young lady, would you go out with me? Somebody said, I complained because I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet. Every day you get up and move, you ought to shout, thank you, Jesus, for this day, for this faculty. Thank you that I can still keep moving for the glory of God. I'll take just a moment to tell you about Dr. Walt Fremont. Walt Fremont was a professor with a PhD when I was in school. It didn't go to his head because he had a big heart. He was known for praising the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you ever met him and said, how are you? He'd say, praising the Lord, how are you? And it was genuine. It wasn't this sloppy agape stuff. He got Lou Gehrig's disease. If you know what that is, it becomes debilitating. He's one of the longest surviving Lou Gehrig's patients, because when he could not get up and raise both hands, he got him up as high as he could and he would say, praise the Lord. He told a friend of mine one of these days, I will not get my hands up. I will not be able to speak. So when you come in my room, watch my eyebrows, because they will say, I'm praising the Lord. I saw him when he was barely able to get his hands up. He could not talk all the way, but he pointed. He had his wife write out some things. First thing he pointed out, I'm standing by his hospital bed. He pointed, tell me about your devotions this morning. I was sure glad I had them. Did you have yours? Second sentence, tell me the last person you led to Jesus. I was sure glad I was a soul winner. What would you have told him? A friend of mine saw him not long before he died. He couldn't get his arms up. He couldn't say a word. But when he walked in, those eyebrows were going up and down. You know what he's saying? Praise the Lord. Pray. Why are you a complainer? Why are you bellyaching? My soul, ladies and gentlemen, we have freedom. We have faculties. Third, I thank God for my family. Most of you have met my wife. I've introduced her better in the morning service. We have been married in 8 days, baby, 41 years. 41 years. We got married when we were 10. Amen. It's been working really good all these years. Last year we celebrated our 40th. We kind of had a big blowout. And I said to her, honey, I love you. And if you ever leave me, I'm going with you. Amen. I mean, it's great. When's the last time you expressed gratitude to your wife or your husband? When's the last time you expressed gratitude to your children? My wife and I have counseled a lot. We'd always get the kids together, and they're all grown and gone. They still text us. They were going back and forth this morning, and my phone's going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Everybody in the family's texting. I'm just saying, call me on the phone. You know, but anyway, they're all doing all this kind of stuff. Well, we would come back from counseling, brokenhearted parents, and I would say, huddle time, and we get all the kids together, and I said, I'd like to thank you for loving us, honoring Jesus. We just came from brokenhearted parents. We give glory to God. Our children have never broken our hearts about anything. Now, they were just normal kids like yours, but they're all today seeking to serve Jesus Christ. Do you express that? Let me go back to something else. Do you express, how many of you have living parents? Living parents. Would you raise your hand? Living parents, okay? Mine are gone. Most of you have living parents. How long has it been since you expressed gratitude to them? When's the last time you called and it wasn't Mother's Day or Father's Day? And just said, hey, I want to say thanks. My dad went home to be the Lord in 97, mom at 98. I was with my father and was able to express to him gratitude 9 days before he went to be the Lord. I went back to his funeral. I was with my mother when she passed away. Let me give you a heads up. I learned from physicians, the last thing that goes when people are passing this life is their hearing. So the last thing my mother heard just a few moments before she left for glory, I knelt down beside her, whispered in the ear, Mama, I love you. If I'm out to 10 cents and as a human being, you'll be the reason. Thank you. I care about you. Thanked her for all these kind of things. How many of you would say Mama taught you a lot? Could you nod this morning, at least smile at me? My mother was a very, very practical, smart farm girl. She would take me into some high dollar places to buy clothes, Pastor, and she would say, you like that? I thought, man, yeah. She'd say, follow me. We go to Belk's Bargain Basement. She'd say, this is the same thing. It just doesn't have the tag in it. My mother's philosophy was this. If it's not on sale, it's not God's will. She told me that I don't know how many times. If it's not on sale, it's not God's will. I grew up thinking that was a Bible verse. I really did. I went to a store not long ago to buy something, and I could hear a whisper, if it's not on sale, it's not God's will. And I remember when Mama took her last breath, because I shut her eyes, and she took her flight to glory. I never go by their cemetery. You say, why not? They're not there. I just thought I'd tell you that. Since 97, 98, they've been on the other side. But I was about 30 minutes from my hometown the other day, and so I decided I'm going by and do what we call pay our respects. William Reese Farrell, Doris B. Farrell, and I just stood there and I thought, man, I wish y'all could come back. We go to Cracker Barrel. My dad loved Cracker Barrel. And where's Bobby Woodson? He ought to be saying amen today. And I can't say thank you. I can't say I love you. I can't send notes. I can't go by and take them out to eat. Hey, folks, if you're going to do it, you better do it now. You don't go to the cemetery and say, sure want you to know I love you. Too late. These are the days to say thanks. Some of you say, well, you know, preacher, I was adopted. You ought to make a trampoline out of the bed. You say, you don't understand. I do too. Nobody had to have you. Somebody who didn't bear you went and paid today. You know how much it costs to adopt today on the average? 30 grand. You know how much it costs to raise a kid from zero to age 18? I'm just giving stats off the internet. $241,000. Put it together. That's $271,000 that you're paying in one form or another to get a kid up to age 18, and you hadn't even sent him to college where you've got to mortgage a house twice. I'm talking about somebody loved you enough to adopt you. We need to thank God for our family. I thank God for food. How many of you like to eat? Could I see you? That's my favorite indoor sport. Amen. I love to eat. And I'm getting real good at it these days. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be God that daily loads us with benefits. We're living in the bread basket of the world. Why in the world do we complain? I was overseas and I was in India. I had to run at 5 a.m. in the morning because by 7 o'clock it was stifling hot. I'm up. I've got my shoes on. I'm heading out to run. The beggars literally are reaching into the sewer and getting something and wiping it on their robes and putting it in their mouth. That's breakfast. And you've never done that. I was in Africa. They make their huts out of woven sticks and cow manure. Literally. While it's wet, They pack it around, and that's what they live in, and you don't stand up. You crawl in on all fours. There's a little lady over there, and she's stirring something in a pot with three little children. It stunk as far as I was concerned, and I said to my translator, ask the lady, how long has it been since the children and she ate? And she said, 4 days. Most of you in this building never missed 4 meals. Do you really have an attitude of gratitude? Are you, you know, a lot of people, they'll go in, well, you know, Pastor Jenkins said you're supposed to pray for a meal. Thank you for our food, amen. Have you ever just paused and thought that in the next 60 seconds, 100 children will be born in third world countries? And 40 of them, 40 of 100 in the next year will die from starvation. We don't have much of an attitude of gratitude, do we? Let me say, if you're parents, and you're, how many of you are raising children? Let's see your hands, okay? Don't let your kids complain. You complain in my house, you could starve. I can tell you that right now. I wasn't putting up with that stuff. Mom and dad get in the front seat. Okay, gang, we're going out back. Some kid in the back seat says, I don't want to go out back. I want to go to Red Lobster. But we would go out back, and your lobster would be red if you try that in my house. I can guarantee you. You wouldn't worry about eating. You'd worry about breathing the time that happened. We need to teach our children how to have an attitude of, help me. That's exactly right. And here's the last thing. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Excuse me, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm thankful for my freedom and for my faculties and for my family and for my food. And most of all, I thank God for faith. Now, let me explain this. There is an argument. Caleb, you were in school, and I hope you never heard this, but there is an argument. Okay, we theologians are going to go to the snack shop. Is it faith or grace that's a gift? Brother Jenkins, don't waste your time with that crowd. Go out and knock on doors and say John 3:16. I have an answer for the theologians. The whole deal is a gift. Jesus is a gift. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. Blood is a gift. Resurrection's a gift. And the fact that you could even open your heart and receive Jesus Christ is a gift. Somebody say amen this morning. But it is a gift that's like a coupon with an expiration date. And you could be sitting here today and you've heard the gospel so many times and you keep saying, one day, what are you going to do when you're ready and God's not? So I don't believe that. You better study your Bible. In Romans chapter 1, they would not, then they could not. He gave them up, he gave them up, he gave them over to reprobate mind. Today's the day of salvation. But let me tell you where our faith comes from. Our faith comes from this book. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by? What do you think of this book right here? I mean, really, what do you think of it? I was preaching in Russia. The wall had fallen. We were there about 6 to 8 months after the wall fell. We took in 17,000 Bibles to give away. We preached everywhere. I mean, I don't have time to tell you about it. But I remember one night a buddy of mine was preaching and a lady came in. It was March. It was cold. She had on a tattered sweater, no coat, missing two fingers, sat down humbly, heard the word of God, and got saved. When she came to Christ, the pastor took one of our new Bibles and tried to give it to her. And she's talking in the Russian language. I said, tell me what she's saying. He said, she is saying she doesn't have money. At that time in 1990, a one copy of the Word of God cost 2 months' salary. 2 months. Very few people had Bibles. And he said, no, this is a gift and we're just offering it to you because if I go to the nursing home and forget my name and my family, I will remember this. She very gently took the Bible and the first thing she did was hold it up. I turned to my translator. I said, I'm paying you for this. Tell me everything she's saying. He said, she is praising God for the first Bible she has ever touched. She's giving him glory that he now lives in her life. The second thing she did was, and the third thing she did was just like a woman would hold a baby. She began to cradle it back and forth and sobbed. I brought 15 men with me and every one of them were sobbing. Are you really thankful for this book? You have no gratitude when the only time you pick it up is when your wife says, aren't you going to take your Bible to church? Gratitude says, I want to eat the Word of God every single day. Wow. Brother Jenkins, have you ever read Tortured for His Faith by a guy named Harlan Popoff? Have you ever read it? Has anybody in this building read it? Anybody? Dynamite book, isn't it? Harlan Popoff was arrested, put in a communist prison for two reasons. One, he was a believer. Two, he was a preacher and would not renounce his faith. They put him in prison on a starvation diet. Study what he wrote. You can still get a copy of that book. One day he is walking in a compound and he sees a man and he's got a little book and he's ripping a page out. He puts tobacco in it, licks it, twists it, and starts smoking a homemade cigarette. Popoff got close. He said, "It's a New Testament." He reached out and grabbed it, and there was a little tussle, and all of a sudden he realized, that's not mine. It's his. Whatever he does with it, it's his. He said, but if that man had said, if you want the rest of this book, cut your arm off. He said, I would have sliced it off and handed it to him for what was left of that New Testament. He said, that man realized how important it was. He said, I don't know what this book is, but here. On a starvation diet in a communist penitentiary under horrendous persecution over the next few days, because he knew they would confiscate the Bible, he memorized 47 chapters of the Word of God. Do you know 47 verses? Here in the hills of Tennessee lived an old man and his wife. They didn't have much, but they had each other. The old man passed away. There weren't but a handful that came for his funeral, but his wife had gone and gotten some crude tools that he had. She didn't have money for a headstone, so she found a flat rock. She took the tools and she carved into the rock a phrase. It was almost hard to read, but the handful of people that came to the funeral walked by and they were able to discern these words. He was always thankful. Are you? Let's bow our heads together. Let's be real honest before we make an exit here and go to our next service. How many of you realize today you really, when it gets right down to it, you really don't have an attitude of gratitude, but you really want one? I'll just be honest. I haven't had really an attitude of gratitude. Oh, yes, sometimes I am. But I'm talking about Ephesians 5:20. I really haven't had an attitude of gratitude. But beginning today, I really want an attitude of gratitude. Please pray for me. If you'll be that honest and say, pray for me before we dismiss and go to church, would you raise your hand real high? I realize that's me. I haven't had it, but I want it. I really do. Let's all stand, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to so many hearts, so many lives. I pray in Jesus' name that beginning as we stand and walk out to the church service, we'll thank God for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We'll thank God for the ability to walk out. We'll thank God for the singing, the preaching. We'll thank God that if we're saved, we can rejoice in the Lord. If we're not saved, we get saved today. We'll have an attitude of gratitude. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Would you look this way? Help me now, folks. You need an attitude of
gratitude.
Amen. See you at church.